Welcome to the Heal and Restore podcast, where we engage in open and honest conversation about spirituality, marriage, family, and the struggles and victories we encounter on this journey we call life. Our goal is that you will find a new way of living as you look closer at yourself in these areas of your life, which will lead to a new, happier, and healthier you. Now, here's your host, the power couple, Randy and Kathy Boyd. Greetings and welcome to this episode of the Heal and Restore podcast.
Yes, you got that down pretty
good. With your two hosts, the handsome Randy and the beautiful Kathy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome to the new year. The first week is gone and past already.
Here we go.
We're off to a running start for the year 2024. What is it going to hold for us this year?
Off and running.
What kind of wonderful surprises are we going to run into this year? I don't know. Do you?
Nope.
Just one day at a time.
Yep.
That's all we can do.
That's all we can do is focus on the present and enjoy it, embrace it, and then whatever comes next, do the same thing. Rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat.
Oh, is that a hair thing?
Yeah, that's a hair thing. Okay.
But we have to do that in life too. We have to, you know, whatever is enjoyable, we have to learn to duplicate.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So.
And then what happens is we do those things and then we fall back into the everyday grind of life. And then we have to break out of that grind to do the things that we enjoy. So that's another cycle that seems to be ongoing.
But if we're duplicating joy, then we just keep getting joy after joy after joy. That was my thought.
Yeah, but
you're a little slow today.
I'm a little slow today.
I know you don't. You got some pain going on. You got a pain in the neck.
Yeah,
literally
next to me. No.
No, you have pain in your neck.
Level of 1 to 10. I'm a 10 today.
Yeah. So. Well, let's just talk about some things today. We talked about, you know, being 2024. We're entering into our second week of the year.
Yep.
You know, January is always that time of year where we talk about a goal setting and getting ourselves prepared for the year. And speaking of preparing for the year, one of the things I want to share about is our Heal and Restore workshop we have coming up.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we are going to be doing workshops every quarter. And our first workshop, How to Heal and Restore Your Marriage, the 2024 Challenge. We are going to begin that workshop on Tuesday,
January 16th.
It's a 4-week workshop. It's going to be 4 Tuesdays in a row. So January 16th to February 6th. And it will be held online. And it will be held with other amazing couples that are looking to grow and enhance their marriages as well. So, Randy, tell us the details. What time are we going to host that?
It's going to start at 6 p.m., like you said, on Tuesday evening, starting January 16th, Pacific Standard Time.
Right, yes.
6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That way we kind of got a good time for everybody.
For all the time zones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're one of those that are out there saying, well, you know, our marriage is good. We don't really need any help. You're the ones that are probably going to need the help eventually. And, you know, and even if you're in that place, hey, you guys, jump on board. I mean, Kathy and I didn't stay married, you know, for 40 years, you know, just living on yesterday's good times. We've always looked at things. How are we going to grow our relationship? How are we going to become closer together? And so I think it's really important that, you know, if you're married or in a serious relationship, jump on board of this.
Yeah, no, it's great. We've got four weeks, 4 different topics. Our sneak peek on those, we're going to talk about how to set goals in your marriage that won't backfire. We're going to talk about how being intentional is the key to a happy, healthy marriage. Intentional is a huge word for
intentional
me.
Intentional is very, very big word in marriages.
Yeah, we've got forget, more communication. How to effectively communicate with your spouse. We always hear our clients come in and say, you know, they want to learn how to communicate better. And so this is going to give us some direction on how to effectively communicate with our spouse.
Oh, Kathy, I communicate just fine with you. What are you talking about? You know?
Communication is more than just talking. So we're going to go into that. And then our final week, we're going to cover, yes, dating after marriage is allowed. Well, sort of.
Well, sort of. Yeah, sort of. If it's your wife that you're dating.
If you're dating the right spouse.
I saw something today. I think it's the greatest respect you can show anybody is to sit down and listen to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. To hear what they're saying. So that's that communication that we talk about.
Right. So let's talk about how does somebody register for this? So first of all, when we talk about workshops, it's an investment. It's an investment in your marriage. We're not just talking, oh, I have to pay this amount of money. No, no, no. You get to invest into your marriage.
Right.
And so we are offering this 4-part workshop series. It's in, like I said, online with other couples looking to do the same, you know, continue to grow and mature their marriage.
Online being on Zoom.
On Zoom. And the cost, I shouldn't say cost because we don't.
No, we don't talk that way.
We don't talk about cost. We talk about the investments. And the investment that you're putting into your marriage is going to be $97 for all 4 sessions. All 4 sessions are going to be recorded. So if you miss a week, we're going to go ahead and record it. We'll send it to you by email so you'll be able to get the recording. The only downside of that, you don't get to participate in the fun interaction, right. But you get to see what other people get to do in the interaction.
Exactly.
Now, if you, however, are one of the first 5 people to sign up, we are offering a discount to you. So what
call
you,
to action.
It's a call to action right here. Now, I'm talking about those that are listening, but hey, invite your friends, invite family members. The more we have, the merrier. We'd like to have double of what we had our first round. And so if you're one of the first 5, but you're not sure if you're the first 5, what you can do is email us.
As a matter of fact, time out. They can email us like right now.
Yeah. Why wait? Email us right now at healandrestorecounseling@gmail.com. We are going to respond with a discount code. When you go to register for the workshop, you will use that discount code and it will knock your investment down to $49.
$49.
So $97, $49. Don't hesitate. Email us at healandrestorecounseling@gmail.com. Now, to register, though, if you have your discount code, you're ready to register, you're going to go to healandrestorecounseling.com. On the first page, you'll see a link. Click on that link. It's going to take you right to the registration. And registration is going to be open all the way up until right before we start on the 16th.
Yes.
But don't wait till then. Don't wait till the last minute. We're excited. We had a great turnout on our Arm Up Your Marriage before the holidays, and we had a lot of fun with that with about 6 couples.
Exactly.
And we like to double that. So register at healandrestorecounseling.com, but email us right now at healandrestorecounseling@gmail.com to get your discount code.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Be there. I'm telling you, it will help you immensely.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
So
here we are, January, second week of January. Yep. We talked about goals last week a little bit.
Resolutions versus goals.
Right.
You choose.
Yeah, you choose. But this week we're going to talk about something a little bit different. We're talking about setting goals in recovery. And, you know, when we talk about recovery, yes, there's those people that are in recovery with dealing with their addictions, you know, alcohol,
drugs,
codependency.
Drugs, pornography,
any
gambling,
of those
overeating.
But when we are talking about setting goals in recovery, recovery is recovering the life that God intended you to have.
Right.
And so you might apply these to your recovery of your addiction, or you may apply these to the recovery of your codependency. You may apply these to the recovery of life, the life that you're intending to have, the marriage you're intending to create. There's so many ways that you can apply these. So what we want to do is we want to start off talking about that. So here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Go for it.
So the first one, So setting goals and recovery is a positive and empowering step towards personal growth and well-being. While I can provide some general suggestions, it's essential to tailor your goals based on your unique situation and needs.
And that's what we're talking about. Your unique situations and needs. And like I said, it could be any aspect of recovery.
Right. And the first part of recovery is if you have an addiction, it's becoming sober from that addiction. Mm-hmm. That's step one. It's essential to tailor your goals based on your unique situation and needs. Here are some ideas for setting goals and recovery this year. Now, I was thinking about this earlier when we were talking about doing this today, that I can remember when I entered in the Betty Ford to my outpatient program, and they wanted me to set some goals. And what were some of those goals? And I can remember there was a couple of different things we did. One was, just simple goals. And one was I wanted to find peace and I wanted to find serenity. I wanted to really understand that, right? So those are my two biggest goals. Mm-hmm. And during the journey, I did recover both of those. I did find peace and serenity, you know, that I never knew I'd have before. But then I remember one other thing that we did, and they had all of us write a letter, what we wanted to do, where we wanted to be in 1 year. And I can't remember everything. A lot of it, most of it had to do with my family, you know, making sure I got that straight. And then one thing was, I wanted a ranch in the high country. So I wrote all these things down, put them in an envelope, and we were to update it and open it 1 year later, right? And I forgot about that letter and the closet. And it was probably, it was over a year that I remembered it. And I remember opening up that letter with all the goals I wanted to have set. And every single goal that I had written down on that piece of paper in that first year, with the exception of the ranch in the high country. But that was just materialistic. Everything else came true.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes along with the sobriety milestones that we're going to talk about. So, you know, establishing specific time-based goals for maintaining your sobriety. Right. And that's exactly what you did. Not only did they help you maintain, but you know, because you wrote those goals down, even though you didn't look at them till after a year, you established them by writing them down. And I think that was key. So they were your spirit, they were put into your spirit and into your heart, knowing that you wanted to be able to accomplish these things.
And the big thing about these goals for sobriety milestones is that you really need, they call them sponsors. I like prefer to call them mentors or coaches, but or accountability partners. You really need somebody that to work with you on these goals and hold you accountable and adjust them as you're going down the road of recovery, because it's not easy. It's not that journey, especially in the first, the first month is tough, but then, you know, it gets easier as time goes. But I think it's a must that you have a mentor that's going to walk with you on this journey.
Absolutely.
If you don't, your chances of succeeding, is not good. I mean,
it's hard enough to do it by yourself. Yes. That's why it's so valuable and so important to have somebody that can, you know, not only journey with you, but hold you accountable and hold not only you accountable, but each other. I mean, typically when we're on this type of a journey, we have, you know, another like-minded person on the journey with us. And so having another like-minded person with you with similar goals or same goals, even,
right, exactly,
it's much easier. I should say easier. It's you're able to work through it differently than if you were trying to do it totally on your own.
Well, and it's also wise to find somebody that has got more time than you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's wiser than you, that has things when you look at them and you get to know them, they have things that you want ultimately. Like for me, I was married. I wanted to find a married man, an older married man that was wiser than me, that had kids, that had and that's what I wanted. He was also a contractor. I was a contractor. So it's best to find somebody that's got more time than you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or whether you're setting a goal, personal goal, or recovery goal, whatever it is, that's going to hold you accountable. You don't want somebody that's just going to pat you on the back and tell you you're okay all the time. You're going to want somebody that's going to tell you the hard truth.
Right. You know? Yeah. So that's super, super important there. The other thing too, talking about milestones, is making sure that you celebrate those milestones.
Yes,
you know, whether it's 1 day,
right,
1 week, a month, a year, being able to acknowledge that you've done this 1 day at a time,
right,
is huge. Not only for yourself, but for others that are following you. And I think that's what's important. I know some people, they don't like to, you know, their thought was, is, well, I don't want to really talk about it, I don't want to share it. But, you know, there's people following, there's people looking, there's people watching. And we need to bring hope to those people. And I think by acknowledging those milestones, I remember first year of recovery, we went to a lot of parties, but they were sober parties.
Right.
And every one of those parties was celebrating somebody.
Right.
It was celebrating an amount of time. It was celebrating their birthday, number of years.
Right.
it was just so important to be around people, and it brought hope.
Well, also Way Spiritual Day is Super Bowl parties every year.
Yeah.
You know, sober Super Bowl parties, you know. Yeah, it's important that we celebrate those milestones.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And, you know, even if it's like, you know, you had a really rotten day one day, and it's just like, you don't even know how you made it through the day sometimes, right? But you made it. That's, you need to celebrate.
Acknowledge
it.
That one, yes.
And you don't celebrate it by diving into your addiction. You celebrate it with your spouse. You celebrate it with your kids. You celebrate it with your mentor.
Your accountability partner. Your somebody. Accountability partner.
You check get in excited with about it because it's a big deal.
You know, this one was huge too at the beginning of our journey was our therapeutic progress. So we setting goals related to your therapy sessions, like attending them regularly and actively participating in the discussions. I think, you know, now that we're doing this with other people, I'm grateful that Deborah was who she was for us because she really knew how to pull things out of us.
Yes.
Because I can see where if there's not a good mentor, not a good therapist, coach, whoever it is that you're working with, how we can easily fall back. And so it's really, really important to, if you're going to go into therapy, be there regularly, make it like it's a regular appointment that you know, you can't live without.
Right.
And many times you may not even know what you're going to talk about,
right.
But there's always going to be something right. That's going to lead you in the right direction.
And again, we talked about intentions earlier a little bit. It's like you walk in there with an intention that you're going to get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't get nothing out of therapy. Well, you're only going to get out of therapy what you put into it.
It's like anything in life. Right, you exactly. only get out of it what you put in it. And I think if you walk in addressing specific challenges or traumas,
yep.
you'll have a therapy session.
Oh, yeah.
There won't be any reason to not do that. So
you got
to
dig deep.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it's uncomfortable, but you want to get out of that uncomfortableness. You got to do something uncomfortable.
We need to understand something, that our addiction, whatever it is, that's not the problem.
No.
That's the solution to our problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is a much deeper underlying unresolved issue that we must address.
Yeah.
And people go, well, you know, but anyways, that's somewhere we have to go. If we really, really want to get the full blessings.
Creating a goal for therapeutic sessions, putting them on your calendar and sticking with it. Yeah. That's so important. It's like if we have to have a meal every day.
Yeah.
If you have a therapist appointment, that's your meal for the day.
So if you had cancer, right, and you had to go get a chemo every day, you're going to go get chemo every
or
day.
Or once a week, whatever that
whatever
looks like.
It is. Well, the same thing is, a lot of these addictions are attached to cancer that's far worse than the physical cancer that's eating our body. Like these addictions are these things where the underlying issues are addictions that are eating our soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, so it has important. To be treated as such.
Yeah. This one is something that you have had no trouble with, is living a healthy lifestyle. Well, I shouldn't say you haven't had trouble. You battle yourself, but you are one of the most focused person on improving physical health and regular exercise and a really good balanced diet. Sometimes you cheat, but you know, establishing a consistent sleep routine to support your overall well-being. It's just about being healthy.
Yeah.
Doing the things that you know are good for you.
Well, the thing about the healthy lifestyle is eating, right? And then exercise, it gets those feel good endorphins going,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know, Kathy can always tell when I haven't been exercising or I haven't been doing certain things. She can tell right away. But Deborah used to be able to tell, you haven't been going fishing or hunting or hiking or camping, have you? And I go, no. She goes, Randy, you must do that stuff for you. You need it for yourself.
Yeah, and here you are coming up on 18 years, and you're still at the gym.
Right.
3 days a week.
Right.
And if he's not, I can tell, he can tell. I mean, everything kind of shifts. Yeah. Everything kind of shifts in our house. The other thing you talked about a little bit briefly, but it's so, so important, is having a really good balanced support system. You know, having strong relationships with supportive family and friends. And then also, if you attend group meetings and actively engage in your recovery community, that saved our butt. That I would say that first year.
Well, the first helmet, we've been in service forever.
Right. But I'm saying for us, we had to disconnect from our normal routine of family, which they totally understood. But we gain supportive friends and a new supportive family,
right,
to keep us basically learning a new way of life for that first full year.
So for the Christians that are out there, and the not Christians that are out there, right, Romans 12:2 says this, and I'm just going to say the first part: do not be conformed to the ways of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what we have to do when we enter into the world of recovery. We can't conform to the ways we used to go out and party all the time. We can't be going out to the bars.
Hanging out with those same people.
No, even. We have to change. If we're going to keep conforming to the ways of the and patterns of life we used to live, nothing's going to change.
No, no.
You know? So.
Yeah, that was really good. But I think too, just, you know, that recovery community,
right,
has been huge. And then even for us, you know, after we went about 10 years in the regular recovery community, then we got involved in a church community.
Well, yeah. And then my cycling community, my guys that we cycle with,
right.
You know, it's
having a good support group of people
that understand you.
Recovery meetings, right. Whether it be community of church, whether it be like-minded community members that, you know, blew my mind is as we started opening up about our journey, how many people were also on this journey that we weren't even friends with, or
right,
that we didn't know were on the journey,
right.
You know, so we had friends that had been in recovery for several years before us that we didn't even know,
right,
were in recovery, and yet we're living life, doing life with them. So,
right,
you know, surrounding yourself with like-minded people who understand and are supporting you is going to be huge.
Exactly. And I think the key word is they have to understand your life.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do that, they have to be really good friends. I mean, like,
they may not totally understand it, but they need to support.
They need to support it.
Yeah,
they need to support your choices.
Because we've ran across that where people don't always understand,
right,
and that's okay.
Yeah.
We can't expect everybody to understand. We just ask that you support it.
That's the right word. Not understand, but support.
Supporting it. Yeah. So I think, and then the other thing that's really important, you talked about this a little bit, is personal development. You know, find hobbies and activities that bring you joy and fulfillment. Consider setting educational or career goals that enhance your personal and professional life. That's all you've ever done. All I've ever known you to do. You've always had a hobby. You've always had, you're still teaching yourself. You're still educating yourself. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say you're teaching yourself. You're still taking online classes. You're still setting goals on certificates. And I admire you for that, because 42 years in one career I've done. Although I am willing to learn, I'm actually learning new things.
You are.
I think I'm in my personal development stage of my life because I have the time for it now. Because sometimes personal development does take time, but when you're in recovery, you've got to find some time for that for yourself.
It's a prioritizing yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're married, prioritizing yourself. But your wife and kids are your number one priority in your life.
Yeah.
And it has to be that way, right? What Kathy and I do, we make each other number one, and therefore, you know.
Yeah. Helps prioritize our marriage. And the other one is, you know, self-care, mindfulness, you know, being able to practice meditation, speaking to God, listening to God in your daily routine, whether it be Bible reading. Whether it be a devotional every day, whether it be a group of people that you do that with, but we have to prioritize self-care to promote the relaxation, and it creates relief of stress.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to the prayer time and the closeness with God, and, you know, it's there's the thing called the dark night of the soul, and we go through it several times, and that our prayer time and it is going to ebb and flow over life. I've learned this from other people, and I'm certainly one that, I mean, it's been more on the ebb lately than the flow. But I keep on doing things to make sure I stay connected with that with the Bible study I'm doing right now, deep dive stuff. And then, you know, maybe I don't pray as often as I used to, but the thing of it is that I still stay in connection with God.
Yeah.
I still stay in connection with God. And if you're in the rooms of recovery, the third step, came to believe in, turn our will and our life for the care of God, as we understand Him, there's only one God. And Bill and Bob, when they wrote that book, that one God is God the Father, God Yahweh. That's God of AA. And that's the God that we have to be grounded in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're reading the Word, or you're in a devotional, or or you're just in quiet time, you're connecting.
Yes.
You're connecting all the time.
Right.
If you're out in nature, you're
yeah.
connecting.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about that.
Yeah.
The other one that's a kind of can be a challenging is having coping strategies. You know, identify and work on healthy coping mechanisms for managing stress and difficult emotions. You know, develop a toolkit of strategies to navigate any triggers and cravings you might have. That is really huge. But I think one of the biggest things for coping strategies is making sure you're connected with an accountability partner, with a coach, with a mentor. That is definitely not something we can do on their own, on your own.
In my book, Healing the Wounded Child Within, I got a whole chapter on coping mechanisms, mm-hmm. right? And the thing of it is, our coping mechanisms, before we're alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever it was, we turn to that for our coping problems, right? But we have to learn new ways to cope.
Right.
Are we going to cope by, I'm just going to go meditate for a while, or I'm going to go for a walk with my dogs, or I'm going to sit down and play my guitar, or,
pick up the phone. Yeah. How many times did you call somebody?
Phone, right? Yeah. That self-development, right, mm-hmm. is part of the coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So that instead of turning to our drug of addiction, right, or the things that used to get us in trouble, now we're doing stuff that's going to enhance our recovery rather than hinder it.
Right. And I'll even speak from the codependent side of things. I mean, coping mechanisms, when as a codependent man, we're constantly in check. And I think, you know, because we're such good people pleasers that, you know, sometimes I have to ask myself, what is my motive? And there's nothing wrong with picking up the phone and calling an accountability partner who you journey with and say, hey, this is my thought. This is what happened. This is how I handled it. I don't know if it was good. And sometimes we just need somebody just to walk through that with us. And so, you know, coping mechanisms, we learn how to cope in other ways that weren't healthy. We
right.
need to now learn how to cope in healthier ways.
I mean, you know, it's like with the codependent stuff, you just kind of drank with me to keep the calm in the house.
Yeah.
Right. That's how you cope with the stress of our house.
Never was going to say no, because no
exactly.
creates conflict, and conflict
right.
creates a fight, and
exactly.
who knows where that was going to go. So,
so
yeah, but so. I guess my whole point is, you know, as codependents, we also have coping mechanisms because mm-hmm. we can easily fall into our old behaviors.
And like I say, in the book, Healing the Wounded Child Within, available mm-hmm. on Amazon, there's a whole chapter
that's
on
great.
Coping mechanisms. Okay. It's a great book for anybody that's been struggling with the recovery, childhood trauma, or whatever.
Yeah.
Go
I love
ahead.
That. That's yeah. great. One of the other things is financial stability. I know sometimes in recovery, we feel, you know, very unstable. but creating financial stability, which would be just sitting down and creating some realistic financial goals that will improve your stability and reduce your stress.
Well, in the promises of AA, I can't quote them all, but this is what it says. The fear of people and economic insecurities will leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you when or how it happens, but you just read the promises of AA, right? And if you keep working your recovery program, right, you have to do it perfect. You just got to keep working at it. Those promises will come true, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we've, you know, yeah, everybody struggles financially. I think everybody does. But the insecurity part does leave you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're, let's say you grew up and none of that stuff was taught to you, seek
right.
the guidance
exactly.
of somebody that will
yes.
help you with financial planning, creating
right.
a budget. Don't be so prideful that you don't take care of this area of your life in recovery, because this is gonna set the foundation, the basis for your future financial.
Well, the pride situation. Comes before the fall.
Yep.
You
exactly.
know, and that's what happens. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and this one's always hard for me because I'm like, oh, why does it have to happen? But it does. And
no.
Relapse prevention.
I heard it again the other day, and I disagree with this 100%. Relapse is part of recovery. No,
no,
it's not. Relapse is part of the disease. Relapse doesn't have to happen. Relapse happens because you made a person made a choice to pick up their drug of addiction rather than pick up the phone and reach for help.
Right, and what leads to that typically is your triggers,
yes.
and strategies to avoid the potential
exactly.
setback. So again, it's
right.
it's not so much that you have relapse as part of the disease, because I don't believe that either. But I think it's important to have a plan in place to avoid relapse.
It is part of the disease. It's not part of the recovery.
Not part of the recovery. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I think it's important to have a plan in place so that when you are triggered, you know exactly what to do.
And so that's why it's important to work real close with a mentor and even a therapist to understand the triggers that you might have. And all the couples that we work with, right, whether they're dealing with drugs or alcohol or not, they all have triggers, and we're helping them find those triggers so that Kathy can understand my triggers as much as I understand them, and then vice versa, I can understand Kathy's triggers so that I don't trigger her.
Right. And I had one the other day, and it was not one that I really, it's something that's been with me for a very long time and has even come up multiple times in my journey of recovery. And it wasn't until this last week that I realized, oh, that's a trigger. And so, you know, I had to think about that. I've talked about it with a couple of gals. I had a conversation with you about it, realizing that, you know, my behavior was a trigger. And so now I'm definitely more aware of it, but I think you have to have people around you that you can walk that journey with.
Exactly.
So, and then this final one is always one of my favorite ones, is putting gratitude into practice. We talked about this multiple times throughout the year. November is always one of those months where it just seems Thanksgiving is just a time of thankfulness. But, you know, cultivating daily gratitude practice, it helps focus on all the positive aspects of your life. If we don't put gratitude in practice, we're missing out on so many different things. But it also gives you an opportunity to reflect on the achievements and the progress you've made on your recovery journey. So, you know, that's one of the things that I know I learned, I know you learned, is how important gratitude was on your recovery journey and setting goals in that recovery journey.
Yeah, gratitude is something that's really important. And it stands that way with Kathy and I today, and we work, you know, all of our couples, make a gratitude list. You know, it will get you out of a funk, usually within a day or two, even if it's the same five things every day. But the reality is that, let's just look at the way the world is today. We can look at all the negative, and it's real easy to see all the negative, and a lot of people do. But, you know, we do, especially living in America, all right, we do have a lot to be grateful for.
Absolutely.
We, you know, we have roof over our head. We have food on our table. A lot of us have families that love us, right? Our friends that love us. We have automobiles. We have an opportunity to work. We have an opportunity. I mean, there's so much to be grateful for, right? Just the fact that we have a roof over our head, bed to sleep in, and food on our table.
Yeah.
And somebody that loves us. Somebody out there loves you, whether you realize it or not. Yeah. And it's probably somebody that you talk to every single day that's really close to you.
Yeah, I think regardless of where you feel you are in this moment or any given moment, there's always one thing to be grateful for.
Absolutely.
There's actually probably multiple things. One thing will come to mind if you shift your mind to gratitude. So.
And if you're into writing a gratitude list, like Kathy and I say, write a gratitude list. Write five things down every morning when you wake up that you're grateful for. And then at the end of the week, pick one of those things and write why you're grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. So good. So I just love this, talking about goals and recovery, because, you know, we can set goals in life, but we can narrow this down to recovery. For those in recovery, it's great. And so just as a reminder, as we kind of close this out, you know, approach your goal setting with kindness, but be flexible too. Know that those goals might change. And it's okay to make those adjustments as necessary.
And I think with that, Kathy, if you didn't hear last week's podcast, we talked about the SMART goals. That's why they are so relevant, the SMART goals, because
they work in recovery.
They work in recovery, and you don't want to set yourself up for failure.
Right.
Right. And I hate the word failure, because we never fail, but you want to be able to set yourself up for success.
Right. And if you're like questioning whether or not, you know, am I doing this? Is this the right mindset to have this goal? Am I going in the right direction? Consider consulting with somebody.
Right.
You know, reach out to us at Heal and Restore Counseling. We're here to help you along the way as well.
Right.
You know, goal setting is something that's so important in every aspect of your life. And so if you're struggling and you're not sure, or you need some guidance and direction, contact us at Heal and Restore Counseling. com. Check out our website. You can reach us through that, and we'll be happy to journey on that with you.
Yeah, you know, if you you don't know how to set your goals up, that's something that we can help you do. We can walk you through the process of setting goals up, you know. You want to look at long-term goals, and you want to look at the short-term goals in between that's going to help get you to your long-term goal.
Right. Absolutely. Right? So definitely reach out to us. We're here to help you. Absolutely. In addition to goal setting, healing restore counseling, Randy and I, we love doing this. We love helping men, women, and couples on their journey. And so we're here to help you. If you're in a relationship that is finding some difficulties, don't stay stuck in a relationship with difficulties. There's help for you. Right. If you're going through some things of your past, some traumas of the past, or bad relationships of the past, you don't have to do that by yourself either. We're here to help you. So reach out to us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to our marriages, that if you're struggling, that's okay. We all struggle, but sometimes it's just a matter of working with somebody that can guide you through the journey and move some trees for you as you go and help you see things a little differently and understand things a little bit differently.
And if you're listening and you are engaged or getting married, we also do premarital counseling too. Yes. We do Simba's Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. Yep. It's a fun assessment to do. We've got a couple of couples getting ready to start, so we're getting ready to journey with them. So we love to be there to help you in any way that we can.
Yep, absolutely.
So I love this. This is a good one.
And remember, email us right now. Don't hesitate. HealAndRestoreCounseling.com, right? At gmail.com. So HealAndRestoreCounseling@gmail.com. Let us know that you want to sign up for the Armor Up Your Marriage, the 2024 Challenge. And we'll send you that secret code where you get that big $48 discount.
Yep, absolutely. All right. I think that's it. I think that was a good one.
Yeah,
that's
a good
that
one.
I'm glad that I came up with that topic.
Yeah, well, you know, I just sit back and let you come up with all the stuff, and then I tell you yay or nay.
So yeah, it's there you nice. Go. Works together. We work well together that way.
All right, guys. So remember, if nobody tells you they love you today, Randy does.
Kathy does.
And more importantly, God does. Be blessed and have a fabulous week, everybody. This has been the Heal and Restore Podcast with Randy and Kathy Boyd. We'll have a new episode every Monday. Please like us and be sure to press the follow button on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and 5 other platforms. If you'd like to know more about the services Randy and Kathy offer, please visit them at HealAndRestoreCounseling.com. Thank you for spending time with us, and we'll see you next week. And remember, if nobody tells you they love you today, Randy and Kathy do.